Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Mem Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur in the middle of Daf Mem Dalid. If you like, you can count 21 lines from the top. The Gemara will deal with the issue of prisha, of being distanced or separated from where certain activities are taking place. We will discuss the topic of the Ktores, the Yom Kippur Ktores being offered in the Kodesh HaKodoshim and the Heichal, and we will discuss the issue of the Dam, the Zrikos HaDam of the Soyer and the Par of the Yom Kippur that also took place in the Kodesh HaKodeshim and in the Heichal. Now, we had introduced this as a topic heading at the top of this Omid. You can see the Nosei that we indicated goes till Omid Beis. We wrote there, Shehei HaKohen Levad B'Shas HaKtoras HaKtoras B'Heichal and B'Kodesh HaKodeshim. We added just now that this issue also has relevance to the Zrikas HaDam. So we now pick up the Gemara, Tanan Hosom, portion Mibein Ha'ulam V'Lamizbeach B'Shas HaKtora. We have a little diagram to the side of the Gemara providing with an aerial view of the Beis HaMikdash. You can see the four-cornered Mizbeach and the ramp leading up to it. And the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam is called Bein Ulam V'Lamizbeach. So this source says that no one is to be there. Portion is separated or distanced from the area. No one should be in the area of Bein Ulam V'Lamizbeach at the time of Haktorah, at the time that the Ktores is being offered. And we mentioned that the Ktores is offered in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there's also the daily Ktores, which was offered in the Heichal. So the source said that no one should be in the area Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach at the time of Haktorah, the time of the Ktores offering. Now, this is qualified. Omar Rebelozer, Lo Shonu Elo B'Shas Haktorah DeHeichal, Avo B'Shas Haktorah DeLifnei Lifnim, MeHeichal Parshi MiBein L'Mizbeach Lo Parshi. So Rebelozer says that this din in the Tanaic source, that you are to distance yourself, stay away, clear out of the area of Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach, is true only with regard to the Shas HaKtorah of the Heichal, which is the next area adjacent to it. In other words, from the Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach area, the next area you hit is the enclosed area containing the Ulam and the Heichal. So we don't want you to be in the area next to where the Ktores is being offered. So if it's Shas HaKtorah of the Heichal, in the Heichal where the golden Mizbeach was, so we don't want you to be in the adjacent area. That's Bein Ulam Mizbeach. However, there is the Yom Kippur Ktores that was offered in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. At that point, you could be Bein Ulam Mizbeach. There, all we want is that no one should be in the Heichal itself. Because if they're in the Heichal, then they're considered in the area adjacent to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. We should point out that the halacha of prisha is based on that which we saw in our previous shiur. The pasuk is found in Vayikra, Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Yud Zayin, where it says, "V'chol odom lo yeh ba'oil moyed b'voyoy lechapir ba'kodesh atzei soy." No one shall be in the oil moyed with him upon his entrance until his departure, v'chiper ba'adoyu v'ad beiso v'ad kol kahal Yisrael. And there he shall atone for himself, his household, and the rest of Israel. And the Gemara at the end of our previous shiur pointed out that this kapora, that's ba'ado v'ad beiso and ba'ad kol Yisrael, is a reference to the Ktores. So Reb Elozer is mentioning that the restriction of Bein Ulam Levela Mizbeach is only during the Ktores that's offered in the Heichal. But the Ktores that's unique to Yom Kippur, then you can be Bein Ulam V'Mizbeach. The only restriction is not to be in the Heichal. We don't want you to be in the area that is right next to where the Ktores is taking place. You see, from the Torah's standpoint, the prohibition is to be with the Kohen himself. And hence we are distancing the people and from where the Kohen himself is located. Well, that having been said, namely, that during the Haktorah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you are allowed to be Bein Ulam Vila Mizbeach, we're going to now challenge that. And you can see there is we have a long question marking. Mosiv Rav Ado Bar Avo, Rav Ado asks, V'amri Lo, another version by way of names, is Kidi. In other words, no name, a challenge though is raised. Rav Yosi Oimer, Kishem Sheporshin, Mibein Ha'ulam V'la Mizbeach, B'shas HaKtora, Kach Porshin B'shas Matan, Par Koyein Moshiach, U'par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor, U'sirei Avoidas Kechovim, V'domim Shel Yom HaKippurim. Just like there is an expectation that there shall be separation at the time of the Ktores, so too there shall be separation at the time of blood sprinkling relevant to these different korbanos that were listed. There's the Par Kohen Moshiach, Par Elam Dover Shel Tzibor, Si'irei Avodas Kechovim, and the blood offerings of Yom Kippur. Ho Ma Male Yesh Bein HaHechal Levein HaUlam Vela Mizbeach. What extra feature, male is a stringency or extra feature that applies to the Heichal above and beyond the area Bein Ulam Vela Mizbeach, Elo, Sheba Heichal, when it comes to the Heichal portion, Bein Bishas HaKtoro Ubein Shaloi Bishas HaKtoro. There is to be separation, whether it's at the time of the Ktores offering or it's at the time of non-Ketores offering, but rather blood sprinkling. Umi bein ulam lizbeach, ein portion elo b'shas haktorah. However, with regard to the area between the ulam lizbeach, so the restriction is only with regard to shas haktorah. Now, there is a havamina here, and that is that Shas HaKtorah, that you're not allowed to be Bein Ulam Mizbeach, includes the HaKtorah of the Ktores, the incense offering with Nei Lifnim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. However, when it comes to the Matan Domim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there you can be Bein Ulam Mizbeach. However, with regard to the Heichal, you cannot be in the Heichal with regard to or during the Matan Domim of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is the Havamina understanding of the source. This is the initial understanding of the source through which we can build up our question. So just to review the last point, the source said, what is the advantage or the extra stringency that applies to the Heichal as opposed to the Bein Ulam Mizbeach? And that is, when it comes to the Heichal, you're not allowed to be in there, whether you're dealing with the Shas HaKtorah of the Kodesh HaKadoshim or the Matan Domim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Whereas Beinu HaMizbeach, you can't be there only with regard to the Shas HaKtorah, but not with regard to the Matan Domim. And where the Hava Mina is? In the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what comes out of all of this? B'shas HaKtorah Miha, when the HaKtorah of the Torah, then the burning of the incense takes place, Miha Parshi. There is to be separation from, stay away from the area of Bein Ulam V'mizbech. My lav b'shas HaKtorah the Lifnei Lifnim. Is it not a reference to the Torahs of the inner sanctum? And that is unlike Rebbe Lozer. What did Rebbe Lozer say? Rebbe Lozer, whose name we circled above, he said that the Bein Ulam V'lemizbech restriction is only when the Torah is being offered in the Heichal. But the Torah offered in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you can be Bein Ulam Mizbech. What do we see here? That Bein Ulam Mizbech, you cannot be there during any Ktoras offering, even the Ktoras of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Yom Kippur Ktoras. That's the question. The Gemara rejects this law. B'shas HaKtorah DeHechal. The source that says Bein Ulam Mizbech, you are to poresh, to separate, distance yourself from there. B'shas HaKtorah, that's Shas HaKtorah of the Heichal. So the term HaKtorah in this source, when it points out the advantage of the Heichal over the Bein Ulam Mizbech, we're saying that when you're with regard to the Heichal, you have to leave it, whether it's the Shas HaKtorah of the Ktoras in the Heichal or it's the Matan Domim Bein Ulam Mizbech, so you don't have to separate yourself from the let's go over that again. When it comes to the Heichal, your Poresh, whether it's the Shas HaKtorah of the Ktores or whether it's the Zman of the Matan Domim. However, Bein Ulam Mizbech, you are to separate yourself only B'Shas HaKtorah of the Heichal. The Gemara asks Ihochi, and Rashi points out the Ihochi, if so. And let's read the Rashi immediately. If so, the Kashem Sheporshin B'Shas HaKtorah Aheichal Koi, if the teaching of the source that says just like you stay away from Bein Ulam Mizbeach B'Shas HaKtorah is referring to you stay away from the area Bein Ulam Mizbeach B'Shas HaKtorah of the Heichal, if that's the case, so then that brings rise to the following question in the Gemara. So we read the Gemara. Ihachi, if so, that the Braisa is referring to separation of Bein Ulam Mizbech during the Shas HaKtorah of the Heichal, so ho, ma, male, vesulo. There's an arrow, you can back up a few lines. The source was saying so that this is the mala, the stringency of the Heichal over the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach. So if you're saying that the source is addressing, the source that we read is addressing the issue of the Ktoris in the Heichal, is that the only mala? Ha iko ha mala. There are actually more stringencies, and the diamond is used to highlight these additional questions. You have one over here, and on Omid Bey is another one. Ha'ika ha'male. There is an additional area of stringency that we could that could have been featured. The ilu mehechal. When you're dealing with the hechal, parshi bein b'shas haktora didei bein b'shas haktora d'lefnei lefnim. When it comes to Heichal, you're staying away from the Heichal during two Ketores offerings. Its own, in other words, in the Heichal itself, and in the and with regard to the incense offering of the Kodesh Kodashim. V'ilu mibein ha'ulam v'lemizbeach lo parshi elo b'shas haktorah deHeichal. When it comes to Ulam Mizbech area, you're going to stay away from there only during one HaKtorah offer, only one Ketores offering, namely the Ketores that's done in the Heichal. But the Ketores that's done in the Kadesh HaKadoshim doesn't force you to distance yourself from Bein HaMizbeach. The Gemara says, you're right. And in fact, that is included in the source, Ha Kotoni. It says so in the source, that very point. And what does it say? So this is a quote from the source above. Elo Shebehechal portion Bein Bishas Haktorah. With regard to the Heichal, you stay away from there, whether it's the Ketores offering in the Heichal itself, Ubein Shelo Bishas Haktorah, or whether it's not the Shas Haktorah of the Heichal itself, but rather the Shas Haktorah of the Lifnei Lifnim, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Umibein Ulam Mizbeach, Ein portion, we continue at the top of Amid Beis, Elo Bishas Haktorah, only at the time of the Haktorah of the Heichal. So, in fact, we can maintain the reading of the source and defend Rebbe Lozer as we did, and at the same time point out that the source is sensitive to this particular additional feature, that with regard to the Heichal, you are to stay out of there during two Ketores type offerings, and Bein Ula Mizbeach, you are to stay away from it only during one Ketores offering, namely that of the Heichal. The Gemara asks, but still, couldn't you speak about an additional stringency accorded to the Heichal over the area Bein Ula Mizbeach, or Ika Ha Male? There is the following additional feature, the Ilume Heichal Parshi, Bein B'Kedusha Didei, Bein B'Kedusha D'Lifnei Lifnim. The term Kedusha is a reference to the blood sprinklings. With regard to the Heichal, you are not to be in the Heichal when the blood sprinklings take place in the Heichal itself, nor when the blood sprinklings are done in the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, also called the Lifnei Lifnim. The Ilu Mibein Ulam Mizbeach, as opposed to the area between the Ulam Mizbeach, Lo Parshi Ela B'Kedusha the Heichal. One stays away from the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach only during the Matan Domim, the blood sprinklings of the Heichal. But during the blood sprinklings of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you could be Bein Ulam Mizbeach. So why isn't that featured in the source? After all, the source got involved with the issue of added features or stringencies applying to the Heichal over the Bein Ulam Mizbeach. The Gemara says, Omar Rava, Rava answers, Shem Prisha Achas Hi. Rashi at the top says, Shem Prisha Achas, Kula Chada Male Hi. It's all included in this one stringency. The Mehecha Parshi Mishum Lefeofnim, Bein Bishvil Haktor, Bein Bishvil Matan Domim. When it comes to the Heichal, there is separation, distancing from it, whether it's concerning activities in the inner sanctum or activities in the Heichal. But when it comes to the area between the Ulam and Mizbeach, there's no separation at all when it comes to Bishvil Fnei Lifnim. The Kevin Ashmino de Mishum Haktor Fnei Lifnim Lo Parshi. Once the source tells us that because of the Ketores offering of the Fnei Ufnim, there is no needed separation from Bein Ulam Mizbeach, Lo Itzrich HaMashvinu Mishum Matan Domim. There's no necessity in spelling it out with regard to the blood applications as well. So in summarizing this section of Gemara, what comes out in light of Rebbe Lozer's qualification, that the area Bein Ulam Mizbeach is a restricted area only with regard to the activities that are done in the Heichal. But with regard to activities, and when we say activities, we mean the Ketores and the blood sprinklings, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, no need to separate yourself, to distance yourself from the Erev Bein Ulam Mizbeach. Omar Mar. This is a quote from that which we cited earlier. Kach por shebishas matan par koin moshiach upar helom dover shel tzibor, Usiire avodas kechavim. The source mentioned that just like there is separation from the Bein Ulam Mizbeach during the matan, during the Torah of the Heichal, so too there is separation during these various blood applications. Minah lon. Here the Gemara is asking, from where do we know this? These various applications, blood applications of the Par Koin Moshiach and the Par of the Shetzibah, these are two korbonis that are related to erroneous halachic rulings, and the Sirei Avodas Kochavim has to do with an area of error concerning idolatry. So where do we know this halacha of separation from Beit Mizbeach during these blood applications? Omar Abdos Asyo Kapora Kapora Miyoim HaKippurim. We have a word comparison comparing the halachas of these various korbanos, and by the way, we didn't point it out, but maybe it's obvious, the blood applications of the Par Koi Mashiach and the Par Hildov Shetzibor and Sira Avodas Kochavim, the blood applications were done in the Heichal. So, since they were done in the Heichal, this law of distancing applies through the Gzeirah Shava from Yom Kippur. Just like on Yom Kippur, we had the laws of staying away from the area of Bein Ulazbeach while it was taking place, so too with regard to these other korbanos. And as we go on in the Gemara, a point is made. You can see we have a long point marking. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, this is a topic heading and structural note combined into one, the triangle is featured, as you can see in the Gemara. These are Shnei Nisyonois, two attempts. Lahasik Maskonois, Midine, Prisha B'Shas Haktora, Avol Nidchu. There are two attempts to conclude certain points, and we'll tell you what those points are momentarily, to conclude two points from this halacha of staying away b'shas haktorah, when the Torah is being offered, but the attempts are rejected. So what attempt number one is ma'alois d'oraisa. When we speak about the different areas, we spoke about Beinu Mizbeach, we mentioned the Heichal, we mentioned the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's a Mishnah in Maseches Kelim that says that there are different levels of sanctity, and the levels of sanctity are referred to by the term ma'alois. Ma'alois also can mean stairs, rising each time to a new level of sanctity. So we want to prove from our sukya that this concept of malos is doraisa. Doraisa in this context means based on halacha lemoshe misinai and not a purely rabbinic description. And the number two, the other point we want to conclude but won't be successful, is kedushas ulam v'heichal chado milsa, that the sanctity of the heichal includes the ulam, the antechamber, that they are one unit of sanctity. Let us now see the Gemara. Omer Rav Acha bar Avo, Shma Mino, from our sugya we shall conclude, Ma'alois d'oraisa. The concept of areas of sanctity, each area, and by the way, Rashi lists seven of these areas of sanctity, all from the Mishnah Maseches Kelim, that the concept of rising in sanctity level from one region to the next is a din d'oraisa, means it's halacha moshe misinai v'hochi gemiri lu, and thusly it was transmitted through the oral tradition, as we have said. And we pointed out three of them. We spoke about Beinu Mizbeach, the Heichal, Kodesh HaKadoshim, but there were other areas, and Rashi lists them. The Isalka Daitoch de Rabbonon, if you were to think that this concept of Ma'alois is purely rabbinic, Ma'ishno Beinu Mizbeach Dilma Mikru V'Aili, why would a law distancing you apply only to the area between Umizbeach because of the fear you might enter? Now, to be together with the Kohen when he is doing these different procedures, that is clearly also, we saw the Pasuk that says that. That's also from the Torah standpoint. And the idea of distancing, if you say that the malos is the rabbonan, so the basic idea of distancing is dilma mikru v'ayli. We're afraid that if you're too close, if you're one region away, you might forget yourself and walk right in. Well, if the we'll say this layering or levels of sanctity is purely rabbinic, so then mikula azora nami nifreshu, have people clear out of the entire azora, dilmo mikru v'ayli, for fear of them going into where the Kohen himself is located while he's doing the respective activities. So from the fact that we don't say that clear them out of the entire Azara, just keep people out of the Erev Bein U'Mizbeach, it shows us that Bein U'Mizbeach is a separate category from the rest of the temple, of the Beis HaMikdash courtyard. And because Bein U'Mizbeach is a separate category of sanctity, we tell you, don't be there for fear of him forgetting himself and going into the Heichal proper, where he's not allowed to be from the Torah standpoint. But as far as the rest of the Azara is concerned, if we were to tell you not to be in the entire Azara, well, being that the entire Azara is a level less than Beit Ulam v'Mizbeach, that would be tantamount to what we call a gzera l'gzera, making a rabbinic rule upon a rabbinic rule. The rabbinic rule states, in addition to what the Torah says, don't be with the Kohen Gadol himself in the same location, the rabbis say don't be one level away either, one level lower away either. Why not? Because of the fear you might forget yourself and walk into where the Kohen himself is. So that's a gzeira derabbanan. The rest of the Azara, being that we're showing you that malos are doraisa, the rest of the Azara is a lower level area, and if we were to ban being in the Azara, in effect we'd be saying don't be in the Azara because you might come to be Bein Ulam v'Mizbeach. And even if you're Bein Ulam v'Mizbeach, we're telling you not to be there because of a rabbinic concern, you might enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That is a double rabbinic ruling, and we don't generally, we don't approve of that. We don't impose such stringencies. Just to repeat ourselves, however, if the concept of malos was rabbinic, so then there would be no basis for making a distinction between Bein Ulam Mizbeach and the rest of the Azara. Have no one in the entire Azara, and yet that is not stated. The Gemara rejects this. In other words, we can't prove what we said in the triangle Shma Mino Malos Daraisa. I will tell you, Bein Ulam Mizbeach is different than the rest of the Azara, and that all the Ma'alos are purely rabbinic. And if you'll ask, so then why don't we keep them out of the entire Azara? There's an answer for that. Bein Ulam Mizbeach kevan de lo mafsik midi lo minkura milsa. Since between that area of Ulam Mizbeach and entering the Heichal itself, which contains the Ulam, there's nothing separating. In other words, it's not nikur, no recognition. So therefore, it's dangerous to be Bein Ulam Mizbeach because it's very easy to slip into the Heichal otherwise. However, the rest of the Azara, kevon de'ika mizbeach hachitzoin de'mafsik, since there's the external courtyard mizbeach, it's a large structure, and since we're pushing you further back from Bein Ulam Mizbeach, you notice the mizbeach, and that serves as a reminder that you've got to stay away. It's mafsik. It serves as a block. minkara milsa. It serves as a recognition, so the issue is recognizable, that I shouldn't draw any closer. So therefore, I could tell you that all of the malos that we say, there are different levels of kedusha, that's purely rabbinic, and yet I can see a reason for allowing people to stay in the rest of the Azora. Just don't stay, don't occupy the Erev Bein Ulam Mizbeach. Omar Rova, Shma Mino, we can conclude from that which we've said, that we don't want you to be Bein Ulam Mizbeach, and from that we'll conclude that Kedushas Ulam Vehechal Chado Milsahi, that the sanctity of the Ulam and the Heichal are one in the same. The Isalka Daitoch Shtei Kedushas Ninhu, if you were to think that that they are two separate Kedushas, Ulam Gufei Gzeira, the Torah doesn't want you to be where the Kohen is, that's in the Heichal. If you're going to say that the Ulam is a separate region, halachically separate region, then having, if someone were to be in the Ulam, that itself would be rabbinic, meaning don't be in the Ulam because you might come to go into the Heichal. So the Ulam presence itself is a gzera, is rabbinic. And would we come along and say you can't be Bein Ulam Mizbeach, V'nekum V'nigzor Gzeira Ligzeira? Would we distance you from the area between the Ulam Mizbeach because you might come into the Ulam? But even if you're in the Ulam, that itself is only rabbinic. So it must be that from the fact we're distancing you from Bein Ulam Mizbeach, we're in effect saying that if you were to go into the Ulam, that's tantamount to going into the Heichal itself. As we said, it's Kedusha Achasi, one Kedusha, one level of, one uniform level of sanctity. The Gemara says, no, this, we're not going to conclude this either. Loi, Ulam Ubein Ulam Mizbeach Chada Kedusha Hi. In other words, we don't want, the Torah doesn't want you to be in the Heichal proper. The rabbis come and say, don't be in the area of the next Kedusha area. What's the next Kedusha area? It happens to be the Bein Ulam Mizbeach and the Ulam. They're one entity, halachically speaking. So we can tell you to stay away from the Ulam, and that in effect is telling you to stay away from the Bein Ulam Mizbeach as well. So that Ulam and Bein Ulam Mizbeach is one Kedusha, Heichal v'Ulam shtei Kedushos. The Heichal versus the Ulam, they are in effect two separate areas, halachically speaking. We continue in the Gemara with a quote from the Mishnah, B'chol yoyim hoya choyta b'shel kesef. On a daily basis, in order to get the coals for the golden altar on which the incense offering was offered, again on a daily basis, so coals were removed from the outer mizbeach, and he would use a silver pan for digging into the fireplace to extricate from there the coals. The Gemara focuses on the type of metal, my taimo, why shel kesef. Answer, HaTorah Chosa Al Mamoinon Shel Yisrael. The Torah has compassion concerning the money of Israel, which basically means the Torah doesn't want there to be money waste. And in the process of Chote, of digging into the coals, the vessel gets rubbed out. There is... It's it's rubbed and filed down and eroded, and as a result, if you would be doing that with an expensive gold vessel, so that would result in a greater financial loss. So we say use the less expensive type metal. V'hayoyim yotziyom kippur choyte b'shel zov ubo hoyo machnis. On Yom Kippur, so we don't have a transfer from a silver pan to a golden pan as was the case during the rest of the year, where we had seen in the Mishnah it was b'chol yoyim choyte b'shel kesef u'mara b'soich shel zov, and he would pour into a golden one. On Yom Kippur, the golden pan that carried the coals was the same pan that was used for the initial extracting of the coals. And the issue is, why was it done that way? People call this the shortcut method. So the answer is mishmaitaimo. Why? Mishum chulsha de kohen gadol, because we're concerned with preserving the, literally it's the weakness of the kohen gadol. He's working all day and he's fasting, and we want to preserve his strength. So we reduce the amount of effort that he has to expend. And pouring from one vessel into the other is an extra expenditure of strength. So we eliminate that by saying the very pan with which you dig out the coals, you carry the coals in that very same pan into the heichal. B'chol yoyim b'shel arbas kavin, every day there would be a pan holding four kav, which was used to dig out the coals, and it would then be poured into a pan holding one kav less, three kavin. Tana, the Tanaic source, elaborates on this as nispazru lo kav gecholim, as a result of you would have four kav of coals. Kav is a measure, so four kav of coals, and pouring it into a vessel holding three, so one kav would scatter. And the source says, mechavdul amo, they would be swept into the ditch that, in effect, was a stream that carried the waste out of the Beis HaMikdash. Toni Chado, one source says, kav, that one kav scattered. V'tanya idoch kabayim, another source says, two kav scattered. So bishlomo hachta toni kav rabbonon, the source that says one kav scattered, that fits into the shita of the rabbonon that were seen in the Mishnah, that mentioned that the digging out was with a pan containing four kav, or having the capacity of four kav, and you'd pour it into a smaller pan holding three kav. So the source here, Toni Chado Kav, that is in accordance with the Rabbonon. Elohach de Toni Kabayim, but this, the other source that says that there was a scattering of two kav money, according to whom is that? Lo Rabbonon v'lo Rabbi Yossi. It doesn't conform to the Rabbonon, because in the case of the Rabbonon, you're going from four kav into a pan of three kav, a differential of one. According to Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, he said that every day you use a se'o measure holds six kav, and you're pouring into a three kav pan. From six kav to three kav, there's a differential of three kav. There would be three kav that would spill over and not remain in the smaller pan. So the two kav spillover doesn't conform to the Rabbana, nor according to Rabbi Yossi. Rav Chista answers, Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha, Rabbi Yochanan, Broki. We should point out that Rav Chista represents the first of a couple of approaches. He's called one, and a few lines later we're going to list Rav Ashi as number two. So Rav Chista says that the source that says there was a two kav discrepancy or differential is in accordance with this new Tanaic opinion, Rabbi Shmuel, Desanya, Rabbi Shmuel ben Oishi, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, Oimer. Bishel kabayim hoyo machnis. We have to add, and we wrote between the lines, he would dig out using a pan holding four kav, and he would bring in just two kav of coals. So there would be this spillover of two kav, from four down to two. Rav Ashi Omar, Afilu Temo Rav Yosi. Rav Ashi says that the source that says there was a scattering of two kav can conform to Rav Yosi. Now, before Rav Yosi spoke about going from a saw into three kav, and we made the assumption that the saw was six kav. So watch what happens now. You can say that the two kav discrepancy is in conformity to Rabbi Yosi v'ochi komer, and thusly we are to read the source. B'chol yoim hoyachoyte b'shel sa'ah midboris umara l'toch shloishes kavin Yerushalmiyos. You see terms here, midboris and Yerushalmiyos. They refer to different stages in time. When the Jews were in the desert, a sa'ah contained what we would call six kav. However, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, the measures were increased by a sixth. The result of that is that a saw midboris, which originally contained six kav, the saw Yerushalmis, each kav was increased in size, so that now the original saw midboris would contain only five of these larger Yerushalmi kavin. So the source is saying he would dig out using a vessel that's called a saw midboris, or a vessel having the capacity of a saw midboris, but we, between the lines, wrote in that it really means five Yerushalmi kavim, and would pour into a vessel holding three Yerushalmi size kavin. Well, if you're going from five down to three, so you're going to have a scattering of two kav. And that is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi. All Rabbi Yossi mentioned is that the original digging out, the digging out of the coals, was using a vessel whose capacity was a sa'ah. But we didn't define what kind of saw or what kind of kavim were contained in that sa'ah. And as we said, we explained it. B'chol yoyim hoysa kevedo v'ayom kalo. On the daily basis, the vessel used was heavy, and on Yom Kippur, it was a light vessel. We're talking, of course, about the coal-containing vessel. The Gemara explains, Tana b'chol yoyim hoysa gilda ova. The wall of the vessel was thick, and vayom rach. The word rach often means soft, but here it means it was thin, a thin-walled vessel, explaining the reduction in weight of the vessel. B'chol yoyim hoysa k'tzora vayom aruka. The daily coal vessel that contained the coals that he brought into the Echal had a short handle, and on Yom Kippur it had a long handle. My time, why? Answer, Kedei Shetei Zro'o Shel Kohen Gadol Misayato. Since it has a long handle, it would extend to the area under his upper arm, and he could, if he were to attach his elbow and upper arm area to his body, he would create additional support for the vessel. So with the long handle, he's able to do that. Tana, b'chol yoyim lo hoyo lo nashtik, v'yom hoyo lo nashtik. On the daily coal-containing vessel, let's say the vessel that was used for bringing in the coals and the ktores, so it didn't have a nashtik. A nashtik is a ring attached to the outside of the vessel that, as he's walking along, it would bang and create a noise, and so that was not present on the daily ktores vessel. However, on Yom Kippur, it had this ring. And Divrei Ben Haskan. And the Rashi points out, because of that which it says, V'nishma koiloi bevoioi, and his sound should be heard as he's entering. So that in order to create this phenomenon of sound being heard, that's a Yom Kippur requirement, so the ring was attached to the vessel. B'chol yoyim hoyo zavo yoroik. On the daily basis, the golden vessel was made of this Zohav Yorok. Yorok is a type of color, and our Mishnah said that on Yom Kippur, so it had a different color, gold, as opposed to the weekly or the daily Ktores vessel. It was Zohav Yorok on Yom Kippur. So it was a it was called Odoim, red. Our Gemara points out, and we have a double underline. You can see on the side, Tatnosei Mivnes is a subcategory heading, and a structural note with a double underline featured. Shnei Deois Bekamo Mine Zov Hein, two opinions in how many different kinds of gold were there. So the first opinion on Rav Chisda, Shiva Zehovim Hein, were seven kinds of gold. And they are listed. Zahav, we'll call it regular gold. V'zahav Toiv. V'zahav Ophir. Ophir is the name of a place. And Zahav Mufaz. Zahav Shachut. Zahav Sagur. Zahav Parvayim. The Gemara goes over these names. Zahav V'zahav Toiv. How do you know that there are two qualities of gold that we can refer to them as that? Dichtiv zahav haaretz hahu toiv. The pasuk says that the gold of that land was good, indicating that there is a regular kind of gold as well. So that accounts for the first two kinds of gold. Zahav ofir. What is that a reference to? The osi me ofir comes from a place called Ophir. Zahav mufaz. We continue at the top of mem hey omer aleph. What is that a reference to? Shedoyme Lipaz. Rashi says at the top, Matziv Kemargolis. It's a certain type of glistening or hue that is reminiscent of a margolis. A margolis is sometimes translated as a pearl. So it's a type of glistening that reminds you of that. Number five, Zov Shachut, is Shenitve Kehuz, very soft type of gold, and extremely malleable, so that it could be formed even into strands. Number six, Zohav Sogur. What is that? B'shah she'niftach kol ha'chanuyos, when the stores, b'shah she'niftach, when the stores that sell Zohav Sogur open, so that's kol ha'chanuyos nizgaros, all the rest of the gold stores close. So that's, this Zohav Sogur is sometimes very, very much in demand kind of gold that when it's being sold, all other stores close. So it's called the gold of closing. It causes other stores to close, so to speak. Zohav Parvayim Shedoyme Ledam Haporim. This kind of gold has a hue that reminds you of the blood of cows. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi disagrees with Rav Chisda and says, Chamisha Hein, all told, there are five kinds of gold. V'chol chad v'chad is be zov v'zov tov. And each one of the five have two qualities, accounting for as a total of five and two qualities within each category. Tanya Nami Hoch, we have a Tanaic source that that points out that there was a kind of gold that was called what it was called because of its similarity to the blood of cows. So Tanya Omer Yehochu, we have a source supporting this idea, this gold cow blood relationship. B'chol yoyim hayozav yoroik v'hayoyim odoim. Every day the vessel, the incense vessel was made of zahav yoroik. And vayom, and on Yom Kippur, odoim, v'hainu zohav parvayim, shedoime ludam haporim. And you can see, we have a little arrow that aligns this line where we dash on the shedoime ludam haporim to the third line from the top, where we said that zohav parvayim is reminiscent of cow blood. So this Tanaic source supports that point. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.